Thank you, Steve. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the Gospel according to Luke, the 14th chapter. We are now in the 15th verse as we go through this great, great Gospel. Luke, the 14th chapter, beginning in verse 15. Now when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is he who shall eat the bread in the kingdom of God." Then he said to him, "A certain man gave a great supper and invited many. And he sent his servants at the supper time to say to those who were invited, 'Come, for all things are now ready.' But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I've bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused.' And another said, 'I've bought five yoke of oxen, and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused.' Still another said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So that servant came and reported these things to his master. And then the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and to the lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind.' And the servant said, 'Master, it is done as you commanded, and there's still room.' Then the master said to the servant, 'Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that the house may be filled. For I say to you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper.'" And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, we would that you would take now your word, that you would touch our hearts. Father, in this very room are some that have never met Jesus as their Savior. I pray that you would open their eyes now, that you would, Father, issue them an invitation and allow them to respond to you. Father, I pray that people would be saved in this hour. I pray for believers, Father, that we would be challenged in this hour, that we would draw closer to you, and that we would be more committed to reaching others for you. Thank you for what you're going to do now. In Jesus' name, amen. I think you've probably heard the old saying, opportunity knocks once. Fishermen like to talk about the one that got away. However, an opportunity that's lost may not be comfortable to talk about. Three friends came together to start a company: Steve, Ronald, and Steve. Ronald wrote the first partnership agreement, designed the company's first logo. Less than 2 weeks into the new startup, Ronald decided he couldn't take it. He sold his shares for $800. Ronald, you see, had been burned in another company venture that just didn't work out. And he was afraid, and he became more afraid when one of the Steves started borrowing money in order to fill their first order. Ronald bailed, and he missed an opportunity, the opportunity to be partners with Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak, and their company, of course, you know's name was Apple. If Ronald had stayed the course, kept his shares, his shares today would be worth about $55 billion. Missed opportunity. You may have heard of Shaquille O'Neal. Shaquille O'Neal was a terror in college on the courts. He was amazing in the pros on the courts. After he had become a multimillionaire, he was approached about investing in a neighborhood coffee shop by a gentleman by the name of Howard Schultz. He told Mr. Schultz that he thanked him for the offer, but he said, "Mr. Schultz, black folks just don't drink coffee." That's what Shaquille O'Neal said. And I just don't think there could be much money in a coffee shop. Well, Mr. Schultz went on with his business. The company had fairly good success. You may have heard of it. It's called Starbucks. Now there's a Starbucks on almost every corner, and Shaquille O'Neal says it was the worst business decision of his life. Decca Records tried out a little guitar-led group, four guys, passed on them, said they didn't sound that good. Besides, those kind of groups are on the way out. The group, of course, was called the Beatles. Old guys that sang. The first agent approached with a book about a young sorcerer took less than a day to send a rejection. The second agent took on the project, was turned down by 12 publishers, and a year passed. It really looked like this was going to be another book for the trash heap until it was picked up by Bloomsbury, and first-time author J.K. Rowling's roared to a bestseller list with the Harry Potter series. The books have sold over 400 million copies, been over 8 films, 11 video games, 2 theme parks. The brand is said to be worth $15 billion. J.K. Rowling's part of that is $1 billion. Oh, the agent that turned down Miss Rowling's, his part would have been worth $50 million. But he missed the opportunity. Missed opportunities. You've probably had some. In our text today, Jesus is at a dinner party thrown by a Pharisee. He's teaching them a lesson on humility. He tells them when they enter a party, don't seek the highest seat. Seek a lower seat. And if you seek a higher seat, you may be humbled when they ask you to move down. If you seek a lower seat, you may get an opportunity to be honored when they ask you to move up. Then Jesus says, if you give a dinner, don't just ask those who can ask you in return, but ask those who can't pay you back. And at that point, one of the guests gets all spiritual. And he says, blessed are they that sits at the table of the Lord. Well, he sounds real holy and sounds like a good statement. And indeed, those that sit at the table of the Lord are indeed blessed. But he had a pious attitude, and his words kind of take the connotation that I deserve to be here at the table of the Lord. Jesus at this time uses this opportunity to speak about the opportunity that God is giving, an opportunity that God has prepared for those that are willing to humble themselves, an opportunity you have today, an opportunity I don't know if you will ever have again, an opportunity to respond to what God desires for your life. And so he presents this opportunity, and he does so in a parable. We see the opportunity presented in verse 16 and 17. Then he said to them, a certain man gave a great supper, and he bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Jesus told a parable about a man that issued an invitation to a great supper. Can you imagine attending a great supper? Can you remember attending a great supper? In my family, there were 3 boys. My parents were great cooks. I remember that there was something cooking almost all the time that they were home. Now, they both worked, and so since they both worked, I had to learn how to cook a little bit. And so we all cooked, and there was always food, and it seemed there was never a time that I could go to that refrigerator that there wasn't something really good in the refrigerator. Boy, could my folks put on a feed. They knew how to feed people. And there was no frying a chicken in my house. My folks fried chickens, and then there was always some left, and it was always great to go to that refrigerator and get into the leftovers. It was great to sit at their table. We've had some wonderful meals around here. I hope you've enjoyed them. Our men's kickoff rally is one of the greatest opportunities to eat that men you will ever get. I hope you were with us this last year. It is an amazing event. It is an event with no sissy vegetables. It's an event that every cardiologist in town wants you to go to. There was meat and more meat, all cooked well and sauced up, and it was absolutely great. It has been absolutely great year by year. Gentlemen, if you get an opportunity, if you haven't been and you are invited, you need to show up. It is good eating. It's good fellowship, and it's a good event. Our ladies have another event. It's a feeding event. They like the menu so much it hasn't changed since we started. It's the same menu prepared by the... They just like some food they don't have to cook themselves. And so they come and they have a great time at that time of eating. Jesus compares salvation to a great supper. As many have said, salvation is a feast, not a funeral. Salvation brings joy, not misery. Salvation gives hope, not despair. Well, in this parable, many are invited. The great news I have for you today is Jesus has invited you to salvation. I don't care who you are. Listen, I don't care what you've done. By the way, I don't want to know. Jesus knows, and that's enough. He loves you, and he has given you an invitation to salvation. This salvation offers you forgiveness for all sin. I mean, all that you have done, all that you are doing, all that you will do, all sin, he is willing to forgive you totally, completely. He is willing to give you peace. Are you troubled in your heart and soul? Are you tormented over what you've done or tormented over your circumstance or situation? He's willing to give you peace. He says, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives I unto you. Don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Jesus offers you purpose. He has a plan for your life. He has a plan for you just as if you were the only person that ever lived. He has a desire for you. He has a blessing for you. He has joy to pour out on you, and he gives you the invitation just to receive it. He has strength for your weakness and eternal life. Eternal life, that's life that never ends, that just don't keeps getting better and better and better. And yes, the song is right. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. You can have life. You can have it abundantly. You can have it all there for you if you accept the opportunity. There may have been some great opportunities you have missed simply because no one thought to invite you. Well, Jesus didn't forget. There are many churches today that no longer offer a gospel plea. There are many churches today where no invitation is given. But if you read the Bible, you're going to find that the Lord is constantly issuing invitations. Invitations for you to come. Invitations for you to be saved. Invitations for you to walk with him. Invitations for you to have a life of purpose. Jesus offers the invitations. The real question is, will you accept the invitation that he has offered? At the end of this service, we will have an invitation. We will offer you an opportunity. If you don't know Jesus, it's the opportunity to walk down an aisle, say, "I want Jesus." Those three words, "I want Jesus." If you honestly want Jesus and you are willing to come, listen, we will pray together. Jesus will come into your heart. He will seal the deal as you accept his invitation, and he will save your soul. That's here for you today. You know, we try to offer an invitation when we meet. We never know who's going to be in the room. We don't want to miss anybody. We want everybody to have the great opportunity that God has given me and that God has given many who are here in this room that we have received into our own lives. You may have missed opportunities in the past, but you don't have to miss the opportunities that he offers in the future. If you read your Bible, Jesus is saying, "Come to me, come to me, come to me." Jesus is saying the time is now. The day of invitation is now. Have you ever had an opportunity that you just had to decide right then? If you didn't decide right then, it was lost. Oh, listen. You may get another chance to receive Jesus. I don't know. But for some of you, this could be it. I wouldn't allow this opportunity to go by. We need to seize the opportunities he gives us. The invitation in this parable is very simple. In verse 17, come, for all things are now ready. There are some who do not offer invitations in church because they think it just makes salvation too simple. May I tell you, God made it easy to come to him. God made it simple. He knew there would be people like me that had to have it spelled out very simply or we wouldn't get it, and so he made it very, very easy to come to him. All you have to do is be willing. All you have to do is say yes. He wants you saved. He does not want you lost. In fact, the Bible says God is not willing that any should perish. There is a heresy out there that God has already decided, from the get-go, who's going to heaven, who's going to hell, and we have no choice in the matter. That's not what the Bible teaches. Jesus says, whosoever will may come. If you're a whosoever will, you can come. You can be saved. You can know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Could your life really be changed by answering a simple invitation? Ask anybody who's ever answered the question, will you marry me? Ask anybody who's ever uttered the words, I do. Let me tell you, a simple question can change your whole life. A simple invitation by Jesus answered can change your whole eternity. The difference in heaven and hell is all wrapped up in whether or not you receive the invitation that Jesus lays out for you. There's an assurance that all things are ready. Listen, do you know that everything's been done that needs to be done for you to go to heaven? Jesus has taken care of it all. You see, we are sinners. All are sinners. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's everybody you know, everybody you will ever know. We all stand ready to fall into a pit of hell because of our sin, and we deserve that. The wrath of God is going to be honored. Now, Jesus came. He went to Calvary's cross. He was there, and the wrath of God poured out on him for our sins. You have a choice to make. Either you accept what Jesus bore for you, or you bear the wrath for yourself. That's not a hard decision for me. It is amazing that God allows us to make the decision, and it's that simple. But everything that has to be done to provide for you to go to heaven has already been done. Jesus did it. I have people telling me that, well, I just don't think I can live the life. Let me fix that for you. You can't. None of us can. Listen, everybody in this room is a sinner. Every one of us has messed up. And in truth, even though we don't like to admit it, every one of us probably will mess up. My God offers a forgiveness that is steadfast and sure, that is complete, that is total, that is willing to forgive me of all sin, and willing to allow me to go into his heavenly home. What a deal. What an opportunity. All you have to do is say yes to Jesus. That is all you have to do. Now, in the days of our text, people would be told that there's going to be an event. The event's going to be, they'd know what day the event's going to be. And so the event's going to happen, the event's going to be, it's going to be on this day. They really wouldn't be told the time of the event because things had to get ready. You see, they had to do all the preparation. They had to slaughter all the animals. They had to slaughter, skin, prepare, all that had to be done. This is called fresh food. They didn't have a supermarket to shop in. They had to prepare it all. And so they would prepare it all. They would prepare it all that day. It would take them the bulk of the day. In fact, it might take a couple of days to get everything ready. But when everything was ready, the dinner bell would sound. when everything was ready, they would be told, the time is now. This is when the feast is going to be. Everything's been prepared. Come to dinner. So when the animals had been butchered and prepared, when all the other food had been prepared and was ready, then you were told it's time to come. Jesus has done everything necessary to provide for our salvation. He said it's all ready. It's time to come. It's time to come to Jesus. It's time to be saved. It's time to have new life in Him. He offers it for you. Now, when it comes to the provision of salvation, there is not one thing you have to pay. There is not one thing you have to do. You just say yes. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. When this invitation went out, the time for response was set. God says, today is the day of salvation. The time is set. The day is the day. This is the hour. This is the opportunity. You can come and be saved today. Plan on it. Plan on meeting me down here and just saying, I want Jesus. Now, certainly, once the food had been prepared, the time of the supper was set, it's time to come. God calls you to come today because time is limited. When the food has been prepared, when the food has been let out, listen, it won't last forever. It is only there for a particular time. There's a deadline involved. I don't know when the deadline for you is. I don't know when the deadline for me is. I know there is one. There will be a time when you will die, and there will be a time when I will die. Let me tell you, when the time gets here, it's too late. If you're thinking I'll wait till I'm on my deathbed and then I'll get right with God, most people don't get a deathbed. Most people just die. Most people are doing things in their normal life and they just die. You know, you don't get an advanced message from your heart saying I'm going to quit at 3:30. And so we need to respond while we have that opportunity, knowing the time is limited, knowing that this is the moment to respond. When your last breath comes, it's going to be too late. Too late to respond to Jesus. Too late to go to heaven. So the opportunity is provided. The opportunity passed. Verse 18, and they all with one consent began to make excuse. It's a great tragedy when someone decides they're going to reject God's invitation. We see it. We see it. People come into God's house. The invitation time comes. Some even will grip the back of a chair to keep from making the move. They know they need to come, but they just don't do it. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. And that could be their last moment. I hope they have another one, but that could be their last one. These people gave excuses as to why they could not come. Now, their excuses make about as much sense as the excuses I get when people tell me why they didn't make it to church. People have excuses. Excuses that they really just kind of make up. The first said he bought land and needed to go see it. May I tell you, it's not really a good idea to buy land that you have not seen. I know a lot of folks trying to sell swamp land down in Florida. They'll be glad to talk to you if you like to buy unseen property. Now, I know people who have done that. I'm just saying it's not a good business practice. But now, if you have not seen the property, would you really choose to go see it at supper time? Probably not. Here the offer goes out, and it's just kind of any excuse will do when you don't want to come. He bought land. Couldn't come. Wasn't going to come. The second said, he was a farmer, and he said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I need to go test them. Really? Most people drive a car before they buy it. This guy's gotten 5 team of oxen, never tried them out. When's he going to try them out? At dinner time? No, I don't think so. The third, this is the dumbest of all. I married a wife and I can't come. Now this guy is trusting all men who have married a wife to know that he doesn't have a say-so in anything and he just can't do anything. Let me tell you, if he's a newlywed male will do anything to get a decent meal. In most cases. Most young brides love the opportunity to get dressed up and go out. This just doesn't measure up. He blames his wife. By the way, men have been blaming their wives since Adam. Adam was asked about his sin of eating the forbidden fruit. What does Adam say? That woman you gave me, she bid me do it. And men have been blaming their wives ever since. It's tragic when people buy the devil's lies. It's tragic when people just make up excuses to get out of doing what God wants them to do. Most of the excuses we get are ridiculous. We talk to people about coming to church. They don't come to church because there's too many hypocrites. You've heard it. I've heard it. Let me go on record as saying they're right. There are too many hypocrites in the church. We are all hypocritical at some point or another if we're honest about it. But in the words of many, I would rather be in church with a few of the hypocrites than in hell with all of them. And why in the world do hypocrites only bother people at church? They don't complain about the hypocrites at the grocery store or the hypocrites at the ball game or the hypocrites at school or the hypocrites at work. It's just the ones at church. Keeps them away. I don't have anything to wear. Oh, listen. If you go to school or you go out in public anywhere, chances are what you are wearing then would be just fine to wear here. We're not hung up on what you wear as long as you don't come bare. Most excuses are exactly that. And most reasons people give for leaving the church are exactly that. It's just some excuse because they don't want to admit the truth that they don't have the commitment. The Kingsmen, a gospel group, wrote a song. It says, "Excuses, excuses, you hear them every day. And the devil, he'll supply them if from church you stay away. When people come to know the Lord, the devil always loses. So to keep them folks away from church, he offers them excuses." Well, you know, people have their excuses to stay away, but let me tell you, you are going to be very sad to try to stand before Jesus at Judgment Day and tell him why you didn't come to him when you had the opportunity. The opportunity was passed. The opportunity possessed in verse 21. "Then the master of the house said to his servants, 'Go out quickly to the streets, to the lanes of the city, and bring them in. Bring the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind.' And they came, and there was still room for more, and he sent them out again to compel them to come in." You can refuse God's invitation. You can walk out those doors, never come to Jesus. You can spend an eternity in hell if that's what you choose, but I beg you, do not choose it. God gives everyone a chance. He gives the high and mighty and the down and out a chance, and you have that chance. It is an opportunity for those of us who know Jesus to recognize that God wants us to compel people to come to Jesus. Listen, the choice here is not just for people who are being invited to come. There is a choice for us who know him to go and invite. And maybe we're falling down on our jobs. Maybe we're not inviting people on a regular basis. Maybe we're not giving the opportunities that we should give. You don't force anybody to come to God. In fact, you cannot. But shouldn't we at least give people the opportunity? And give them the opportunity. You know, the person that tells you no today may have a totally different life need tomorrow. And so we need to give them those opportunities, and we need to keep those opportunities before them. The master of the feast made it very clear it didn't matter who they were. It didn't matter what they had. It didn't matter what they did. It didn't matter what they loved or didn't love. It didn't matter their physical condition. He just wanted them to come. That's how Jesus is, and that's how we should be. We just want people to come. We want people to come to know him. We want people to be blessed by him. We want people to be saved by him. Verse 24, for I say to you that none of those men who were bidden shall taste of my supper. There will come a day of judgment. There will come a day you will stand before God. And if you have refused Jesus, if you have refused Jesus, you will not taste of God's goodness. You will not taste of God's forgiveness and love. You will spend an eternity in a place called hell. If you refuse the opportunity, it may not come again. Opportunity knocks. You know, I don't know how many times. I don't know how many times you'll be asked. I don't know how many times you have been asked. But I know this is the time. I know that God gives you now. And I plead with you, don't pass this opportunity. You're here. God's brought you here. Told it's going to be a rainy day. Told it's going to be a stormy day. You're here anyway. God's given you an opportunity to come close to him. Now, for the Christians in the room, God's given you an opportunity to mean business with him, to make sure your life is totally surrendered to him, that you are living for him, walking for him, that you are dedicated to reaching others for him. And at the time that we begin to sing, you may want to come and pray for those that you know that are lost. Pray for those in your family that are not here. Pray that you will be faithful to reach out on a consistent manner. You may be a believer and need a church home, and God said, this is the place. Listen, we need you. Come be part of us. But if you're here and you have never invited Jesus to come into your heart to save your soul, that's why you are here. That's why you need to come during the invitation. You don't need to put it off. It doesn't matter whether anybody else comes or not. God gives you the opportunity. You need to respond. Your response may encourage somebody else, but you need to respond. And the moment of opportunity is now. Let's stand for prayer. Father, I thank you that you gave me an opportunity to know Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that that same opportunity is laid out today. And Father, you knew who would be in the room and you knew who would need to come. And Father, I pray that those that are here that need you will come to you. That they won't put it off another day. That this will be the day of their salvation, Father, because they will come to you right now. Father, there are others, believers, who need to get close to you. Father, some that have turned away that need to turn back to you. Some who need to become part of this church. Guide us in whatever decision needs to be made. Father, let us seize the opportunity you have given us. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing, would you please come?